time in military supply.
Welcome to America Tonight. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across this great nation and beyond. It's a continuous fight to hang on to our rights, isn't it? And to hang on to our freedoms. Ultimately, that's part of what this water cooler buzz highway is all about here on ATN. Your chance to express yourself and get movements started. Some of you have done that. There have been some amazing things that have happened in the last 3 years with the people listening to ATN and what we've been able to do, some of the things that we've been able to rattle cages with, let's say. And maybe we need a few more cages to rattle. When it comes to Afghanistan, for example, the military folks on the field not happy about the withdrawal. They think they're not ready for a withdrawal, and they're worried about the 70,000 ultimately that will be left behind, our troops. We know now what the blueprint is, of course. We knew that on Wednesday, and leading into it, a lot of it had leaked out. 33,000 surge troops from Afghanistan done by next summer. The Pentagon thought it was more aggressive than it should be, but the president, a day after, when it's all being handicapped on the Hill, Admiral Mike Mullen, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and General David Petraeus, who are the top commanders in Afghanistan, say they're going to carry out the president's orders. What's interesting is that's exactly how they put it. For example, let me tell you what Petraeus said. Petraeus said this when he was talking to the Senate Intelligence Committee. That's part of that nominating confirmation process deal to be the new CIA director. When he was asked about Afghanistan, and he said he's going to Afghanistan to start implementing the timetable, this was his quote: "The best step for our country, with the commander-in-chief having made the decision, is to execute the decision to the very best of our ability." And Mike Mullen echoed the same sentiment. He said the president's decisions are more aggressive and incur more risk than I was originally prepared to accept, but no commander ever wants to sacrifice fighting power in the middle of a war, and no decision to demand that sacrifice is ever without risk. Well, we've been taking the risk for a long time. So over the next 15 months, 33,000 pull out and 70,000 remain. So the bottom line is, when all of this is done, a full military withdrawal by the end of 2014, what scares me to death is how much more loss of life will there be and money spent. And the answer is, for every soldier that's there, it's $1 million, $1 million. And one of the things that the president said is, getting out of Afghanistan, and we have to focus on some things that are here. This is 2011. So think of 2014. Yes, you can't withdraw immediately, but we could have everybody out of there by next summer. So I think that the plan should have been much more aggressive. Because if anything, it's that in-between thing that's going on here that won't be good for the people that are left behind. But God bless the troops, because they're there and they carry out the orders so brilliantly. And there's so much valor that runs deep through these troops. I cannot tell you, the guys and the women that I have met, I am so impressed with them. And they do not get enough pats on the back. They just don't receive that. Not that that's what they're looking for, but they don't. Something that we're going to start on America Tonight, which was my reference in the beginning to this great audience and the things that have happened through the show, by all of you, not by me, but by all of your efforts. One of the things that we're going to do is we're going to start something, and I'll have more specifics on it, but Military Joes and Janes. And the idea is classrooms will adopt somebody who is serving and will send them letters. So the fifth grade at PS 187 in New York will adopt somebody and they'll send letters to them. Because one thing that I found out through my conversations with the people that are being deployed again and again and again, it's about that human connection. I think it makes them feel that they matter, even when it's strangers, when kids send cards, when people who don't know them touch them, that lifts their spirits. So we're going to really push hard to implement this across the country and get as many military people covered as we can so that maybe, just maybe, this little old show can lift the spirits of the people who are day after day in the middle of this thing. They're not the politicians. They're the people who are implementing the strategy that's being served up. All right, quickly, I want to make sure we get this in. Speaking of the president, one of the things that he did after this whole Afghanistan thing is now we've decided that we're going to release the oil. And what does that mean, release the oil? When we pull up the pumps, what are you paying? Have you noticed that maybe it's going down a little bit? The Obama administration announced Thursday the answer to the question that they've been dealing with as to what are we doing with the oil prices. They're going to tap into the strategic petroleum reserve, and they're going to release 30 million barrels of oil over the next 30 days. What's interesting about this is, boy, that can be a dangerous thing to do, because the SPR is really, really the first line of defense if we have any kind of interruption to the oil supply. So this is playing poker with the oil and politics. Drawing down the amount that you pay at the pump will help the president in his bid to be reelected. What really should have happened is more projects here, right here at home, when it comes to offshore drilling, certainly. Remember, it was drill, baby, drill, but then I realize that was thwarted because of the oil spill. There was no doubt that that was job-crushing and soul-crushing and energy-crushing, but that moratorium could have been lifted sooner. And certainly now, it should be full speed ahead. Put the safety regulations in place. Inspect the rigs. Do the job better. Hire people who are not connected to the people in the oil industry, and then you don't run into problems with issues over shoddy paperwork, or at least you hope you have a better fighting chance at it anyway. So now, what's happening to the American energy worker? They're becoming extinct in some sense of the word when it comes to the oil business. We need to beef that up. We need to come up with energy solutions anyway and put more people back to work in that area. Coming up, we're going to lighten the load and we're going to talk movies next, our cheap movie review.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you need MyPillow. Guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, MyPillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. MyPillow has a natural built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. MyPillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. MyPillow is made in the USA, has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, June 23rd, 2011. Gold opened this morning at $1,540. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,578.96, $789.48 for a half ounce, or $394.74 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,578.96, $789.48, and $394.74.
The Constitution and the Bill of Rights have been reduced to old relics politicians ignore, trample with their outlandish, overreaching policies. Your support for the Campaign for Liberty stands in the way of this insidious process. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I have teamed up with the Campaign for Liberty to offer the authentic proof quarter-ounce pure gold coin. For only $440 plus shipping, Midas will donate $100 to this incredible organization. Help fight big government by ordering your gold coin at 800-686-2237. You get to win twice by owning gold and fighting an overreaching government. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
We don't need to convince you that the threat of forced entry is on the rise and that your door locks are inadequate. Now you can virtually eliminate the threat of your door being kicked in with the Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel offers standalone door kick-in protection for under $67 and installs in minutes on any door. Turn your home or apartment into a fortress. Get the Door Sentinel at SentinelSecurityGroup.com or call 678-648-6757. The Door Sentinel, always on guard for you.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
So will you be heading to the movies this weekend, even if it's just to cool off, because there's some warm temperatures now that we're into the summer that are making their way across the country? Tell me about it. I live in those warm temperatures. And you got to crank up the air when it starts to get 100 and above. Oh, yeah, you got to have that air going. Blow it and going, baby. So a lot of people actually try to catch matinees sometimes on the weekend to get out of the hot, hot sun, and maybe you fall into that category. The movie that's getting the most play, it seems, is the sequel to Cars, Cars 2, and here is a little snippet of it to start off our cheap movie review.
This place makes the Bermuda Triangle look like a kiddie pool. They say out here is where the ocean burns. We're here, right where you paid me to bring you. Question is, why? I'm looking for a car.
Look out, ladies. Mater's fitting to get funky.
How'd you like to come and see the world with me?
You mean it?
The world's Grand Prix. Three races, two continents, but only one winner.
Ka-chow!
There's an American liaison under deep cover.
No mo arigato!
These Americans are clearly master spies.
Oh, you've got to be joking.
Lightning McQueen cannot win the race.
Instead of saying ka-chow, he's gonna go kaboom!
McQueen needs your help, Mater.
You ready?
Is the Pope Mobile Catholic?
No one can
can't stop us.
Friendships can be dangerous in our line of work, Mater.
I'm sticking by you the way you always stick by me. It's the American spy.
He's getting away.
Excuse me, leaking oil. Sorry, lady.
Oh, boy.
All right, once again, you have Lightning McQueen and the rest of the crew. You recognize some of the voices. This movie is an hour and 53 minutes. Then you throw in the time you have to get to the movie theater beforehand. Yeah, you're looking at, you know, 2.5 hours probably. Owen Wilson, one of the voices, Larry the Cable Guy, Cheech Marin, Michael Caine. And it is, like I said, the sequel to the first one. Basically, the theme is that you've got the first ever World Grand Prix to determine the world's fastest car. I don't know, sounds pretty good to me. How about you? Good escape. Might have to wait for DVD, though. For me, that would be a DVD. Maybe for some of you, that'd be a DVD, too, when there's no sports on, right? Bad Teacher is the next one. Cameron Diaz stars in this one, and as you can imagine, it's about a bad teacher. Take a listen.
Are you excited for tomorrow?
Is tomorrow Saturday?
No, it's the first day of school.
Yeah, I'm not going to go to that.
But it's mandatory.
Ooh. Give up.
Elizabeth, you shouldn't be teaching. I mean, I can't think of anyone less suited to being a teacher.
I don't need a blackboard or a classroom to set an example. So stupid.
What?
Hey, Elizabeth, can I grab a bite sometime?
You still a gym teacher?
I am, yeah.
Then no.
Hey, cool. Well, awesome. This went great. All right.
From now on, my full-time job is finding a guy who's going to take care of me.
Hi there.
Scott Delacorte.
Elizabeth Halsey.
On the news of.
How the watch? Is that a Jaeger LeCoultre?
The family business.
I love how his eyes sparkle when he smiles.
I want to sit on his
face. Hey, guys.
Hey. So, did you and your wife just move to town?
I'm not married. I actually just got out of a relationship. She has such a big heart.
Enormous. If I got a new pair of boobs, he'd be all over me.
But they're really expensive, isn't it?
Yeah, and you gotta get two of them. Who knows? Maybe you'll win the bonus.
What bonus?
For the state test. Whichever teacher has the highest score in class gets a bonus.
Things are about to change around here. Recess is over.
We're having our car wash this weekend. Last year's car wash raised $6,000.
Let's do this.
Whoa. Lauren Risman's dad called. He said we should have a car wash every weekend.
That's bonkers!
There is no way that LeBron will ever beat Jordan. Call me when LeBron has 6 championships.
That's the only argument?
It's the only argument I need, Sean!
Now, who has the answer to my question?
You, Chubbs.
He's,
Whoa! Wait!
Twilight, what do we talk about in class?
Don't throw at her. Throw through her.
Sign my yearbook.
Hold my balls.
All right, so you get the gist here. She's a bad teacher. She could care less. Then she finds out she could get a big bonus. So she turns it around. An hour and 29 minutes. It's a short movie. I love Justin Timberlake. He's so funny. He's in this movie. That is one talented kid. So, actually, he's not a kid anymore. I think he's 30-something. But Justin Timberlake, Cameron Diaz, they're the big stars in this movie. We move from that, The Bad Teacher, to the Conan O'Brien flick. I think this one may be the runaway hit. I don't know if it's going to be the hit at the box office, but it's the one I would be interested in seeing. You know, all that stuff that happened to Conan O'Brien, then he went out and toured. Apparently, it has to do with that. It's called Conan O'Brien Can't Stop.
Usually, I have it a certain weight, and then when I went off TV...
There's a carrier there of just like cheese popcorn.
Hello? Job? Television job?
I'm really angry at times. Sometimes I'm so mad I can't even breathe.
If there's ever been a time in my life to just say, to hell with it, it's now.
It started out as a small idea.
What if I could just go out there and put on a show for them?
My own show again. I can't wait to have my own show again.
Push this crowd back. Everyone give me some room. Get these people back. No. No photos.
Should I be worried that we're opening in a town where nobody lives?
Walk it down and do it.
This is a cool opportunity for me. This is my opportunity to tell you who I am, how I grew up, and how I came to be. Do you want to hear this story? It's a pretty good story.
I'm ready to meet my groom.
Wait a minute, what is that? Oh my God!
Oh wait, that's an article there about it.
What happened to us, Andy?
I walked away from the greatest franchise in history because I refused to go on at midnight. Here I am on at midnight.
How's your voice holding up?
So far, so good. It's not the show, it's the interviews right after the show that are killing me.
I can't shut up.
No one's thinking about burning me out.
The people that actually made the arrangement are never here.
I'm trying to give you the best show that I can.
This thing's a train wreck. You know what I want to do? Not talk to 100 people. I'd like somebody to help me.
But I'll use my voice.
Yeah!
We're done.
Leave me alone.
Ain't got no defense against this one.
Are you ready to rock?
You have 40,000 people in the palm of your hand.
I know what it would be like to stop.
What do you mean, stop? What does that even mean?
Okay, and you want me to sign your back?
Yes.
Ah! Paparazzi!
All right, so you can bet that this is a documentary, right? Of course. And you heard bits and pieces of O'Brien talking about his, what it was like after he was dumped by NBC. I love documentaries. I love biopics. And this looks like it could be a good one. I don't know that I would go see it on the big screen. I would probably wait for it to come out and watch it then, you know, get a Netflix deal or go get it from Blockbuster or whatever. But it does look pretty interesting, I have to say. He did that 32-city music and comedy show, and a lot of people showed up for Conan O'Brien. And I applaud him for what he did with his crew. He made sure all of them were covered because they had moved from the East Coast to the West Coast, and he didn't want them to get jammed up in his situation with NBC. And I think it'd be interesting to see that play out behind the scenes. Stay with us. Much more to come during this hour of America Tonight.
If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite. Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack.
Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
That's what he goes there for, is to unlock the door. All around him criticize and say.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. It's the fifth week of the Casey Anthony trial in Orlando. Each and every week we go to Chris O'Donnell, who is covering the trial for a local TV station there. And boy, things have gotten really hot since the weekend. A lot of it centering around the defense attorney, Jose Baez, and what's going on with him and his witnesses, and apparently the prosecution saying they didn't know about several of the witnesses. Chris is here to sort it all out for us. Chris, thanks, as always, for popping on ATN.
Oh, you're very welcome, Kate.
So tell me about the scuffling over witnesses, and it started over the weekend, and the judge got upset, and what's happened since then?
Well, basically what happened on Saturday is that the defense attorney, Jose Baez, was going to call William Rodriguez to the stand. He did call him to the stand. Now, the state knew this, but when the gentleman got to the stand, he started testimony that went down this whole line of questioning involving duct tape. And the state objected, you know, rigorously. Is that the right word? Sorry. It's been
yes.
A long day. Is it?
I know.
Casey. Yeah. But the state objected and said, look, he's about to testify to something that was not in his report. Now, what happened was in December and January, the judge issued an order saying every single expert witness had to put their opinion in writing, they had to explain their opinion, and they had to give the reasons for that opinion and the foundation for that opinion. Well, this was never discussed. So the state said, wait a minute. We never knew this. This wasn't in the report. We couldn't even prepare for this. So out went Mr. Rodriguez. And then the state wanted to call another expert, a DNA expert from Holland. Same issue. He was about to testify to something that was not in his report. This happened on Monday. So, again, we were faced with the same issue. And so what happened was is the judge said, no, he's not going to testify until he can be deposed by the state. These things were going on simultaneously Saturday and Monday. So what happened was is we get to Monday, and Mr. Rodriguez can't testify. The DNA expert can't testify. Jose Baez did not have a third witness ready. So court ended early, and the judge was not happy because, of course, that wasted a whole day, and there was no testimony for this jury to hear.
Yeah, and explaining that, you need to talk about how the expert witnesses, the foundation for what their testimony was going to be, and it was you had to have it in the report. That was by the judge's request?
Yes, that was a judge's order in December, and then he amended that order in January because there were some issues involving that and disclosure. So what the judge said was, look, Mr. Baez, this has happened once. I could exclude this witness. That is the ultimate penalty, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to allow the state to depose this witness, and we will figure it out from there. Well, we haven't heard from Mr. Rodriguez yet. We don't know if he's coming back. Now, the DNA analyst was allowed to testify, and he did testify to something called what he calls touch DNA. It apparently, according to him, is relatively common in Europe. It is not common here, but it basically is taking very trace evidence. If you touch something or grab, like, the handle of a shovel, you can get DNA from that. But he was going to go further about duct tape, and again, the state objected, and he was not allowed to testify on that issue. So that is why court was delayed. Today we had an early day, but that was because the judge had a prior engagement, so that was already planned. But the defense got through five or six witnesses today, but they were all criminal analysts. And, you know, crime scene analysts and of those witnesses of those natures.
You mentioned this about the duct tape, and that's fascinating about the touch DNA. I didn't even realize that. So touch DNA, we haven't had that in the United States. That's not something that's common.
It's not something that's common. There are a couple labs in the country. I believe Denver, New York City, and the FBI can certainly do this type of analysis. It's a sensitive analysis. And basically, the defense was trying to argue that if the state wanted to, it could have gotten DNA off that duct tape. But again, he wasn't allowed to testify in that regard, but he did testify about touch DNA in general. Now, this is a gentleman who does not have a master's degree. He has a bachelor's degree, and the state made that clear. And he and his wife started this company in Holland, and his wife basically started the company and made him president. So the state made sure to bring out those issues, and the fact that they've established a lab now in the United States and that they want to generate business in this country. So, you know, in the end, I think a lot of legal analysts looked at that, and so far the testimony from the last couple of days really did not put the defense ahead at all.
Yeah. Something else that happened, and this is going back a little bit, too, over the last couple of days, but it made big headlines anyway. For everybody listening, a few people brought that up on America Tonight to me. The thing about the autopsy being shoddy, according to the defense, so this is obviously a direction that they're going. So it's trying to say that the autopsy wasn't done right?
Well, what's happened is their star witness, Dr. Werner Spitz, who is a gentleman who has a long history, is world-renowned in forensics. He worked on the O.J. Simpson case. He worked on the Kennedy assassination. So this man has been around for a long, long time. And his point was that anytime, as far as he is concerned, if you do an autopsy, you have to cut the skull in half. You have to open that skull and cut it in half, I think is what he said, but you have to slice it apart and look inside of it. And that was not done. So because that wasn't done, his whole contention is, well, what else wasn't done? He's not saying that any evidence could have been gained from that. But he was saying if that wasn't done, what else was missing? What else did they miss? However, in cross-examination, the prosecutor, Jeff Ashton, started asking him a lot of questions about the timeline because Dr. Garavaglia, when she made her assessment that it was a homicide, she looked at a number of factors, including the fact that Casey never reported or the child was never reported missing for 30 days. The child was found bound with duct tape in a wooded area. And those things to her suggested homicide. And when Jeff Ashton asked Dr. Spitz about that, he couldn't really give those details. He couldn't really say, well, all these things happened, and he didn't have a grasp, from what it seemed, from what his testimony was on the stand. He didn't really have a grasp of those issues, that circumstantial evidence surrounding the case, saying, well, look, all these things are adding up. These are huge red flags. And he never really addressed those issues, nor really seemed to have a good handle on them. And it appears, based on the jury reaction, that he was making some headway with that.
Yeah. You and I talked about this already, going in a different direction, but it is heavy speculation. And, you know, everybody from the paparazzi type of outlets like TMZ to more mainstream folks to the cable outlets, the CNNs and the MSNBCs, and I mean, everybody's covering this trial. Certainly, you know that it's everywhere. And the bigger things that happen in court get the headlines, like I mentioned, the comment about shoddy autopsy. A lot of people are talking about Casey Anthony taking the stand. And you and I said, I asked you about that, and you said it would be just circus times 10 if that happened, because everybody would want a seat in the courtroom to hear her testify. Do you think there is any shot at all that they may throw that curveball out there, that Baez may do that and shock the world?
You know, Kate, like I said, I think any guess we give right now, I mean, who knows? It's speculation. There's so many unexpected things that have happened in this case. I have no idea. I really don't have a feel for it. I know what I would do if it were me. And if you have watched any moment of either Linda Drane Burdick or Jeff Ashton cross-examining people, you wouldn't put her on the stand, because they will slice her story apart. I mean, Jeff Ashton really did a number, so to speak, on Dr. Werner Spitz, who is world-renowned. And this gentleman's credentials are impeccable. But you take somebody like Casey, who is an admitted liar, you put her on the stand. I can't even imagine what he would do. If I were the attorney and had, you know, I've been sitting there watching this every single day, I would never put her on the stand. Because if she starts saying that the baby drowned and, you know, my father helped cover it up, the state has put together some evidence that they say refutes all of that. And there was a big discussion about that this week as well, because the state claims that during a forensic analysis of her computer, of the hard drive, they have found evidence that completely refutes all that. And there was a scuffle about that as well. And Jose Baez was admonished as well by the judge, because the state wants to admit this and possibly use this in rebuttal if they put her on the stand.
Yeah. Do you does Baez, because I've only seen shots of him, is there any indication, and of course he's going to be cool as a cucumber, but you talk about the prosecution, obviously the best from what I understand, and you mentioned, as you called it, what a number they did on Dr. Werner Spitz, a guy with amazing credentials. When you look at the other side of it, the defense team and Baez, what is the sense that you get from him? Is he really trying to play that poker face because he's got this job of defending, as you said, an admitted liar?
You know, it's hard to tell. I mean, just based on objectively, if you look at what is going on in the courtroom, I mean, the prosecution has been there, done that. They have been through this. They have had at least 30 capital murder cases. They have a record of something like 27 for 30. These guys are pros. They know what they're doing. Jose Baez, when he got this case, when Casey Anthony contacted him, had only been practicing law for 2 years. I mean, just look at the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
He does not have the experience the same way. If you listen to his line of questioning and how he goes about soliciting testimony from the witnesses, a lot of times what happens is under cross-examination, Jeff Ashton will step up there and start making this defense witness a witness for the state, because he's so good at it. He's been doing it for so long. And I think when you put experience into the mix, you know, I don't think there's no way that Mr. Baez can compete with that. He just doesn't have that time in the courtroom like the prosecutors do.
Yeah. Yeah, good assessment of that. Chris O'Donnell, as always, we appreciate you coming on America Tonight and telling us what's happening there in Orlando. As you said, you're there each and every day. We'll talk to you again next week, and thanks.
It's the My name's Russ, and after my heart attack, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I needed to keep on working, but now it's becoming a problem. I heard about these garlic cayenne drops and hoped it would help me. Well, I've been taking them for about 4 months, and the way I'm feeling now, I can see how I just might make it to retirement, thanks to Extendivite.
My name's Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793. 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
If you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best-tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, here's some exciting news. There's a new product designed to make growing delicious produce easy. It's called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants that works by providing true, broad-spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. What does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue-ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency hybrid wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. It's also perfect for growing your own survival foods and might just be the ultimate hard times barter item. To grow tastier fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com. That's growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365.
America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, Coast to Coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. We've been talking about this all week. We did the pregame on Afghanistan, and of course now we know the meat of it after the president spoke the other night. Now what's happened is some of the top military brass have told a Congress that President Obama's withdrawal of 33,000 surge troops from Afghanistan by next summer is more aggressive than the Pentagon initially proposed. But there were defenders like Admiral Mike Mullen, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and General David Petraeus, of course, who say that it was right on what the president declared, and they're going to carry out the president's orders. Joining us on the show to talk about that, actually, to look at the history of Afghanistan, in a sense, from a historical perspective, Dr. Jeff Waro, who's the director of the University of North Texas' Military History Center. You can also catch him on a couple of things. He recently filmed an episode of Spike TV's The Deadliest Warrior. He's the host and anchor of the History Channel and History International programs, Global View, for example. Hey, Jeff, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Hey, Kate, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, let's dive right into this. Give us your perspective on what has happened, because a lot of people are trying to compare what's, and we have too, comparing what happened with Russia and the 9 years in Afghanistan to now. We've way surpassed that by being invested in Afghanistan for 10 years. But there are definitely differences between the two. What are the major differences between what happened with Russia and what's going on with the United States?
Well, I think that, you know, we've invested more in the civil society than they ever did, but it remains to be seen whether that investment will pay off. I mean, recent research on this, and revelations of the press reveal that, a lot of the money we're spending is very analogous to what we did in Vietnam. You know, we're using contractors and we're kind of bypassing Vietnamese people at that time, we're bypassing the Afghans and using foreign contractors to do a lot of this, civil society development. And so we may be leaving an untrained, demoralized rump behind rather than a society that's really pulled together under, with the benefit of American and NATO largesse. And so we've done a better job sort of building up the economy and society than the Soviets ever did. And then in our military, operations, we've really pursued a true counterinsurgency, which is quite humane compared to what they did. I mean, they were just going in and, killing bad guys however they could, which involved a lot of collateral damage, far more than we're inflicting. So there are big differences there. But I would say that I'm pretty pessimistic about the long-term thing. I think that it looks a lot like the Soviet experience. Remember, they had a couple of puppets there. The last one was this guy, Najibullah.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were leaving Afghanistan, when Gorbachev said, look, this is too expensive, it's gone on too long, we need to get out, he set up Najibullah much the way we're setting up Karzai, said, look, just pull the society together, bring in dissident elements, the Mujahideen, just as we're saying, try to bring in the Taliban and make some sort of broad coalition. And, he tried, but he was ultimately overcome by events. The warlords, the Mujahideen, the minute they saw the Soviets were leaving, they were emboldened. And they said, look, we don't need to cut a deal with this guy. We'll just wait till the Soviets leave, and then we're just going to push this guy over and take power ourselves. And that's precisely what happened. So I see, barring some miraculous renaissance in the ranks of the Afghan security forces, which could happen. I mean, we've built them up to a strength of 100,000 now and 300,000 by the time we leave. Maybe they'll be halfway competent, but the results haven't been good. That said, remember, this is a very territorial society. People, they're not going to be pushed over necessarily by the Taliban. I mean, they realize they've got rights to protect. They've got interests to protect. So they're going to defend these interests with all these NATO-provided weapons once we leave. So I'm pessimistic, but I think there's still hope, but not from the nation-building perspective, just from the raw human interest perspective. Some of these guys we're leaving behind are going to want to defend their privileges and perquisites, and that may be enough to, protect a non-Taliban Afghanistan.
Yeah. The other aspect of that is what we leave behind. How about the Karzai government, though? I mean, certainly you realize this. I think it's propped up by, riddled with corruption, I guess is a better way to say that, and nepotism that has bit Hamid Karzai in the butt, so to speak. And certainly they have a limited ability, I think, also to win over the people in those war zones. But there is no better alternative, right? Is that what we're stuck with?
Yeah, I mean, he seems to be the best horse in the stall. I mean, we've invested so much in him from the George W. Bush administration to the Obama administration. It'd be impossible to do a course correction now, especially remember the experience of Vietnam when we threw over Diem and embraced the colonels, and we saw where that led us. So, it's like we kind of have to stick with him at this point, particularly given the accelerated withdrawal timetable. It's a question now of, just kind of talking to this guy, hoping for the best, talking to the men around him, trying to make sure that the police and the army are trained up and determined to protect what we built in the last 10 years. But no, we're kind of stuck with him, and he's stuck with us until 2014.
Yeah. I was talking about this on our previous show. I dug up an old quote from Henry Kissinger, who famously said that in an insurgency of this kind, it's really the guerrilla army that wins by not losing, and it's the conventional army that loses by not winning. Do you think that's true here?
Yeah, I do think that's true. I mean, I think that what's happening now is that They see the timetable and they're going to sort of wait us out. Now, this implies no criticism of Obama. I mean, Obama, he can't stay in Afghanistan, through 2020 or 2030. I mean, at some point we have to leave. We're spending $20 billion a month in that godforsaken country. So, he has to get out. And, in fact, I would be in favor of a faster withdrawal than he's doing right now, like most Americans. But I think, their idea is going to be to wait. Now, the only criticism I've heard there that I think is somewhat fair is by leaving getting the surge troops out in the summer of 2012, we're going to sort of nip the prime fighting season in the bud, because we'll be focused on drawing down the force at the time when we ought to be fighting the Taliban, who are going to be coming out of their, winter quarters and fighting in the spring and the summer. But, he obviously wants to, Obama wants the surge troops out before the 2012 election, and he wants the whole lot out by 2014. I think that's reasonable to expect. I mean, this is plenty of time, plenty of investment, and we've got the NATO armies that are trying to get out at the same time, so we're not going to be the last ones in there. And we really need to be, tending to domestic issues, but also sort of looking about our strategic, picture, all over the globe, and where do we want to spend our defense dollars? And it's probably not on mud-walled villages in Afghanistan.
Yeah, I agree. How do you think this goes down in the history books? You're a history guy. How does this look 20 years from now?
Well, it looks like an example, I think, of American overreach. I think if we had to do this all over again, we would never have gone into Iraq to topple Saddam Hussein. I think most everyone would agree on that now. And as for Afghanistan, yes, we needed to go in and punish the Taliban for harboring Osama bin Laden and not giving him up. But I think a more focused strategy on counterterrorism, such as, yielded the capture of Osama bin Laden, it would have been a better investment of American dollars than this attempt to knock over the Taliban and stand up a new government under Hamid Karzai and create some model society. Now, we've obviously backed away from that recently, but we're still sort of stuck with this idea of a new nation fostered with American aid. And I think that looking back 20 years hence, we're going to look back and say, why didn't we just go in and fight with the Northern Alliance like we did, knock over the Taliban, and then, align ourselves with the winners of that conflict, leave bases there, CIA and military bases, to look for the bad guys across the border in Pakistan, because that's where they all are. And, ultimately, this whole thing is not about Afghanistan. This whole thing is about Pakistan.
Right.
And managing the duplicity of Pakistan and the bad choices Pakistan's making, harboring terrorist groups, building up their nuclear arsenal, being obsessively paranoid about India. When India is such a big, mammoth country, the next China, they really don't care about Pakistan anymore, but the Pakistanis are so obsessed with the Indian threat, they'll do anything, including, harboring all these terrorist groups inside their borders, creating mayhem inside Afghanistan, building up the nuclear program in very dangerous ways. And I think really why we're staying on in Afghanistan until 2014 is far more to police Pakistan than to manage the development of Afghanistan.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. A perfect way to sum this up. Dr. Jeffrey Warrow, thanks so much for lending us your insights on Afghanistan from the historical side. We appreciate it.